Hi everyone, I'm Rosemary Miller here with Brian Yachman, the founder of YCG Investments, here to discuss Nike's earnings. Thank you so much for joining me today, Brian.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, Brian, Nike shares fell 7% on Friday after the company warned that growing competition was putting pressure on its financial results. The sneaker company announced a restructuring plan in December, and CEO John Donahoe told analysts, "It is clear that we need to make some important adjustments." Where is this competition coming from, and why was Nike unprepared?
Well, I think, first off, to answer that first question, the competition's really, the investors are seeing a lot of lost share going to Hoka and On. And it's real that they are growing share. Why were they unprepared? I think, you know, it's a tendency of large dominant organizations sometimes to maybe get a little bit, sit on their laurels and sit back as they kind of bask in the sunlight for a while and enjoy the dominant brand that they have and the pricing power. And then they just allowed some of this, a slowdown in their own innovation. But I think they're doing the right things and they're smart management and they see what they need to do and making the right adjustments.
Well, a company like Adidas, for example, they seem to be less troubled by new brands. Why do you think that is?
I think part of it is also just realizing that when you're in a fashion industry, you're dealing with a fickle consumer where there's just changing preferences constantly happening. And so sometimes you just get lucky, you know, you get right in hitting the fashion curve for a while. And then at other times it goes against you. And they leaned a little bit too heavy, I think, on their legacy Air Jordan for a time that was what was giving them such a dominant wave of tailwind. And then I think that it came back to bite them as they sat back and tried to wait on that.
That's true. Air Jordan
I'm
set
leaning into that.
their moment. Like, I remember everyone was wearing the white Air Force Ones, like all last summer. You remember this?
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Dunks, you know, or what I'm not a shopper myself, but what is it called? I think it was the Dunks or something like that.
I'm not a sneakerhead.
Yeah, neither am I.
But
but I pay attention to the financials, so.
The company's third quarter sales. So they announced late on Thursday they were actually better than analysts expected, though that year over year, it was pretty flat. The market seems to be reacting more to the company's outlook than the results. Can you tell us what's behind that?
Yeah, so I think we've already named one of them, and I think that's probably the biggest one, which was this innovation slowdown and losing share to Hoka and On. And just as a quick counter, I won't go into any of the counters or the positives right now. I guess we'll just focus on what is the, to answer your question directly. So I think that was the number one concern is seeing that, hey, the last few quarters, there's been a lot going on. And the question was, is this really happening? Are they really losing share? And I think it's become abundantly clear that, yeah, they are. There has been some innovative changes. I myself, you know, dare I say I'm a Nike shareholder, but I wear Hokas. But as I say, I think that they're doing the right things and making the right changes. The other things, though, that I think that are weighing on their mind has been, this is a little bit more out of the way, but still a concern. And that was the distribution channel. So previously, they leaned really heavily back during COVID going into the direct-to-consumer channel, which is a benefit to them because they have wider gross margins by selling through that channel, and it was very successful. So they invested a ton in that channel, did really well. But then as COVID started to subside, COVID concerns, I think what became apparent is that the consumer wants proliferation of choice. And they started to realize, you know, we need the wholesaler channel. And I think they tried to get away from it. I think they felt a little bit of dominance, like, hey, our brand's so strong, people will just come directly to us. We can just develop this and do without them. And so moving forward, the fact that they now see that they need the wholesale channel, I think is a little bit concerning to investors in general, because it's a sign of weakness that perhaps as strong and dominant as the brand is, it is the number one brand in apparel in the globe. But it's evidence that they may not have as much pricing power going forward as was thought. That is, that they need that sneaker out in these channels to for consumers to see them. Otherwise, they start to lose share. And then the third thing, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, and I think the other major concern that's on their minds is China. A major portion of their growth is going to come from China. And the concern of course, theirs is that there's been a slowdown in China. It is they're more profitable in their sales in China, wider gross margins, and it had been something that was growing double digits for the last several years until recently, and now you're seeing meager growth for now. So I think put together, the market in general is very impatient. They're always looking for how can I make a quick buck today, and that's actually a little bit to me what perks up my ears is if you can see a path to a bright future, but in the short run things are a little murky. That usually is what provides great opportunities for long-term investors.
Well, are there any other weaknesses you see product-wise or geographically?
I mean, I think those are the big ones. I mean, if you're to go into other things, I think perhaps we're getting into the weeds because I think those are the major drivers. I really think those are them.
Well, let's talk about football or soccer, if you may. Nike just won the sponsorship of Germany's national soccer teams, away from Adidas. So Adidas had them for decades, I want to say. How has that affected things with Nike?
So I think, obviously that's a incremental positive. It just shows that, like you say, after decades of having this stronghold, that Adidas had this stronghold, Nike comes up and says, they took share there. Now I have to wonder what that arrangement looks like, because Nike probably wanted to make sure that they could secure it. But nevertheless, the fact is that they have it. And that also sparks a memory about China, that China's spending billions of dollars to try to really grow their soccer. And as they do that, of course, China being an area of growth, there's no question in my mind, in my belief window and in our belief window at YCG, that Nike will be able to take plenty of share there. So coming back to when we were talking about Hoka and On, and then you bring up Adidas, all this competition, I guess I would just point out that, when you think long term, I think this is where investors can have an advantage in a short term oriented market. When you think long term, it's projected that Nike should grow, excuse me, not Nike, but that the middle class should grow over 1 billion people over the next 10 years. They're forecasting over 100 million each year. So over 100 million people being added to the middle class this year alone. The point I guess I'm trying to make is there's room for more than one player. And Nike's in the most advantaged spot to be able to take advantage of that growth in global wealth and somewhat act almost like a toll taker, if you will, on that growth of global wealth.
Well, does Nike's cautious sales outlook overall, do you think it's an indicator of the weakness in consumer spending for months ahead?
I do think that that is part of it. I think that the market's probably overreacting, thinking like this is a pure competition problem. But I think in some ways they're underestimating the power of the Nike brand. I mean, they have more resources than anybody to put towards demand creation. If you look in Nike's financials, that's one of the expense lines is demand creation. They spend over $4 billion a year on that. To put that in perspective, Hoka's top line is not even 2 billion. So they're spending more to connect their brand to celebrity athletes than more than twice as much than what Hoka is making in top line revenues. So these other brands just don't have nearly the amount of resources to put to connect that brand to make it an aspirational, desirable brand for a tribe, if you will. And so I think that that is why I do think some of the, to answer your question directly, I do think that some of this forecast is more connected to the fact that that the economy is struggling, particularly at the lower end consumer. And I think that you have Nike is one of those, other than Apple, I would say Apple is probably the best brand at being an aspirational luxury type brand. that sells to the global mass. And so Nike is doing the same thing, selling to the global mass. And so, but the inflation that we're facing, I mean, it's just so damaging to consumers on the lower end that are trying to shoot for those aspirational sneakers.
Well, I want to go back a little bit to what you said. Nike is spending so much money. Are they overpaying? Do you, that's a lot of money, you know? Are they overpaying?
Well, you know, I guess I wouldn't be able to say for certain. I think it, to me, that question is more about, does the shoe have, or does the brand have pricing power? And that's actually, I think, the key question to every single investment that any investor makes long-term. If you want to be able to buy and own something and really compound your returns, I believe the key is in pricing power, because there's really only two ways you make money. You either can demand a premium price and people still choose you and you still grow your volume in spite of the higher price because there's something unique or special about your brand, or you have such great share that you are the lowest cost producer. And in the case of Nike, they're a little bit of both, right? They have the greatest share, depending what metrics you're looking at and what area we're talking about, you know, 25 to 40% type market share. So it gives them the lowest cost advantage, but they have tremendous pricing power, or have historically. And the question that is on our mind as investors is, how enduring is that pricing power and how strong is it? Again, what I mean by pricing power is, if an identical consumer came along, or excuse me, identical company like Hoka or like On, and Nike charges a premium price, do people still pick your product? And right now, yes, there is share being taken by them. But let's put in perspective here. I mean, Nike's selling 800 million pairs of sneakers. So I think my fear would be more, could there be death by a thousand cuts here, where you have more and more aspirational brands taking little chunks here and there? But clearly, you see this actually in the aftermarket, in the resale market. So Nike historically they have sold, if you look at the top 10 most valuable sneakers ever sold, 8 out of the top 10 are Nikes. And if you buy these, you know, some people they'll buy these sneakers, and then they would actually, you know, they're in the line, they create this like exclusivity, and then they're in line, they get the sneaker first, and then they resell them at a premium. And so people, in order to get the sneaker, would have to either wait, or they want it so bad they're willing to pay a premium to get them. That premium in the resale market is indicative of the pricing power that exists, because it tells you the sneaker's worth more to the consumer than what Nike's selling it for. The concern I have is that this past year, that hasn't necessarily held true. It's held true on some sneakers, not on all. And so the thing that we're watching there is that more indicative of a troubled consumer? So demand has gone down because there's not the ability to pay. Is that more indicative of the inventory glut? Because, you know, to be a luxury producer, really that's what they're doing, is they're selling, they're a large belief network effect. And they're saying, believe in us. Like, we are the tribe. You want us, as they've connected this brand to celebrities. And if, no, I lost my train of thought there. But the point I'm making was, coming back to this, the belief network effect in this aftermarket, the resale market. Oh, the question was there a glut of supply? Because that was the big issue they were dealing with, is when they messed up the channel and they went heavy into the direct to consumer channel, they had a giant inventory glut. And so now they needed to sign up all these wholesalers again to try to unload all that inventory. And was the unloading of that inventory what's led to the resale market not having pricing power? So that's kind of what we're keeping our eye on as investors, is there enduring pricing power here? And this is just a temporary issue. And once now supply gets back in check, do they go back to demanding higher resale values in the resale market? Or is this an actual long-term trend that perhaps Nike's brand and belief network is not nearly as strong as we thought, and the pricing power is a lot weaker?
Well, Brian, this has been great. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.